For the last seven messages that I've shared with you, we've been looking at I am statements of Jesus. And those seven we find in Bible studies, and a lot of times our study Bibles even refer to them, are the seven I am statements. And the reason they picked on those particular seven is because they have that grammar predicate noun. He names a noun after that. I am the bread. I am the light. I am the gate or the door, depending on your translation. I am the shepherd. I am the resurrection and life. I am the way, truth, and life. And last week we shared about the vine. But as we look at today's scripture, as we finish this series, I added this eighth one in because I see it as sort of an overarching type of scripture. As we hear all of those other seven I am sayings with those each of those predicate nouns attached to Jesus' words, we find that he uses it in a different way today. There is no predicate noun, but it's a very important use of how he shares those words, I am. So as we look at our scripture this morning, would you stand as we honor the reading of God's word? The Jews answered him, "Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed?" "I am not possessed by a demon," said Jesus, "but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Very truly I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death." At this they exclaimed, "Now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets, yet you say that whoever obeys your word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" And Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you, but I do know him and obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." "You are not yet 50 years old," they said to him, "and you have seen Abraham." "Very truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." At this they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. The word of God for the people of God. This back and forth dialogue that we see just in our short scripture this morning really began towards the end of John chapter 7. And we see him dialoguing with the leadership of the Jews in that day. And in chapter 8, it begins with the lady they were getting ready to stone. And he said, those famous words, "Let him without sin cast the first stone." And they all sort of dispersed from there. But there was this discussion amongst different things all the way through chapter 8. And we come to this final encounter in this particular setting with them. There's this name calling and accusations and lots of questions. We even heard the question, "Who do you think you are? Who are you?" They asked that several times throughout this chapter 8 of the Gospel of John. But they don't seem to get it as he answers them back. Jesus wasn't against Jewish traditions or even the Jewish teachings as it related to what we can find in the Old Testament. What he was against was the Jewish power structure that had just sort of upset some of that and made traditions that were man-made and made traditions and teachings that elevated the leaders and not God. They sort of twisted things up. And, sometimes that can happen even in our day and time, and we need to be careful about that. But that's what Jesus was against, was this power structure that they had built for themselves. And so I hope that this I Am series has been challenging your thought process about Jesus and what he means to each of you as you think about him. I ran across a reading I'd like to share this morning. It was the part of a sermon from S.M. Lockridge. I'm just going to share those words with you. I certainly can't do him justice, but hopefully you can get a sense of the cadence that he would have shared as he talked about, "That's my King." S.M. Lockridge says, "The Bible says my king, he's the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. Now that's my king. Do you know him? No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands in the solitude of himself. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. Do you know him? He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He heals the sick. He cleanses lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent and he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring to wisdom. He's the door of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy and his burden is light. I wish I could describe him for you, but he's indescribable. That's my king, S.M. Lockridge says. You know, Billy Sunday once said that there were 256 names in the Bible for Jesus. And you just heard a few of them there as Pastor Lockridge shares those words and adds some beautiful adjectives to some of those as well. But the one name that caused the most trouble for Jesus is in our scripture reading today when he simply said, I am. As we look at our scripture today, we find Jesus, as he's sharing with the Jewish leaders, as he's responding to their questions and their concerns, we find that he's sharing with them, you know, I'm not doing this on my own accord. I'm not doing this to seek glory for myself. I'm doing it to seek the Father's glory. I'm doing it to seek God's glory because glory is reserved for him. And we shared with that in times past. You know, it's not some ego trip that God desires this glory, the glory be given to him. It is rightfully his. It's not an ego trip for him. It is the glory should always be for him. The glory that will live in forever. The Bible says that we'll live just from the glory of God's presence. We'll live in that light. The glory belongs to God. Jesus is sharing with them, I don't do this on my own accord. I don't do this for myself. I do it for the one who sent me. And certainly that relates to you and I as Christians and as the church, that we should always seek God's glory in what it is he compels us to do and leads us to do and empowers us to do. It should always be, as Jesus models for us here, to reflect the glory of God, to be bringing him glory in what we do and in what we say. That glory is reserved for him. Also, as we listen to Jesus' words in our scripture today, he talks about how if we obey his word, we will never die. Isn't that a beautiful promise that we can treasure? We shared a little bit about that with the group here on Thursday. As, you know, just that simple verse of John 3:16, that God so loved the world that we just believe that he gave his only son. And we have the promise of not perishing, but having everlasting life. And Jesus is sharing that here with the Jewish leadership. If you obey my words, if you respond to what I'm sharing, you will not know death. And he shared that with his disciples on that evening before he's crucified. I'm the way. And we shared in our I Am series about that. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we indeed have that new heaven and new earth to look forward to living forever, as we will never perish, but have that everlasting life with Jesus. As we come to him and as we learn from him and as we obey his words, we have that beautiful promise, that treasure that we can keep in our hearts of everlasting life. But the climax of our scripture today comes there in verse 58. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. In the old King James, it was verily, verily. Whenever you heard verily, verily, your ears need to perk up. Whenever Jesus said that, whenever that was recorded in the Gospels, that meant there's something you need to listen to. I tell you the truth. Verily, verily, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. Now, some folks sometimes have trouble getting their mind around that because it seems that there's an obvious incorrect usage of the verb. They're thinking he should have said, before Abraham was even born, I was. But that's because they're thinking that Jesus was using I am as a verb. And in this particular case, in this context, and as we learn from those who know Greek in which this was written, and as John wrote this, we know that he's not using it as a verb. When he says I am, it is a noun. You know, the other seven sayings that we've looked at in the last seven messages, it was a verb. I am, and then there was a predicate noun. I am the vine. I am the bread. This time he simply says it's no longer a verb. It is the noun. I am. And it's a proper noun because it's a name. It's a divine name that we find clear back in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. When Moses said, who should I tell your people? It's been talking to me. And he said, just tell them that I am has sent you. There's so much packed in what is translated for us as I am, but it is just this connotation that there is no past because I am has always existed. And there is no end in the future because he will always exist. And the leadership and the Jews that were listening to Jesus at the time that this was first shared and John has recorded it for us, they knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. They knew exactly the name that he just called himself. And in their minds, that was blasphemy. And that's why our last verse talked about they wanted to stone him. That's the penalty for blasphemy, stoning to death. Jesus just said, I am God. I am. That is the name for the Jews. That's the name reserved for God himself. And Jesus says, before Abraham was born, guess who I am? I am. It gets a little tricky in the English language, doesn't it, when we try to share that. But he simply says, you wonder who I am? I am this proper noun, the divine name that God gave to Moses to share with his people. Jesus is greater than Abraham because he is one with God. He is God. John tells us that clear back in chapter 1. Where the word was, he used past tense, the word was with God because the word, he came to present tense, is God. And the word being Jesus, because the word became flesh and dwelt among us in verse 14 of chapter 1. So we know it's Jesus that John had been talking about in the first several verses of his gospel. Jesus pre-existed to Abraham's time. Jesus affirmed his superiority over the prophets and Abraham. Abraham came into being, but when he was born, Jesus was already existing. I am is the title of God, is the name of God. If we wanted to substitute here, I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, God, I already existed. And Abraham was glad to see the day of salvation come through Calvary. A little confusing for the Jewish leaders of that day, trying to figure that out. Wait a minute, he's not even 50 yet. Not even close. And Abraham's been dead a long time. How can he say this outrageous stuff? But if they weren't getting up to then, he certainly got their attention when he just called himself by the divine name of God. With that claim, people have had to make a decision ever since that time. And they still have to make that decision. I pray that each of us have already made that decision, but it's something we even need to think about in our daily lives. But we need to decide all the stuff that Jesus has been saying, these I am statements that we've been looking at, everything else that we can read in the Gospels, the stuff that Paul looks back to as he shares in his letters, as we read in the Old Testament that pointed to Jesus. But especially as we look at the Gospels and as we look at what Jesus says to those around him that the Gospel writers recorded for us, and even specifically our scripture today. Jesus, several, and C.S. Lewis is one of them, but sort of summarize it down, he can only be one of three things. He's a liar, he's a lunatic, or indeed he is Lord. You know, some C.S. Lewis himself, I was reading one of his things as I was preparing for today, he shares that, you know, some want to say that, well, Jesus was a good teacher and he had some good things to say, and he certainly does that. But if you take all of what Jesus says in its entirety, especially if you take what he said in our scripture today, wait a minute, he's not saying he's a good teacher. He's saying he's God. So again, he's either a liar or he's a lunatic, or indeed, he is Lord God. He is. I am. And the decision that each of us need to reaffirm each day, and the decision that the church needs to be sharing for folks to decide as we share about Jesus, not just in our words, but in our actions, as we share that love, we need to be doing that with the conviction that indeed we serve a Lord. We know his name. Jesus says, I am.